Lila. Welcome to Hell or High Ranch Water.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. We've got some strong black coffee here. It's delicious.
A little iced.
Oh, yours is iced.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you got that button on the Keurig.
There is a button on the Keurig for iced coffee. Does it actually do anything different? Do you think it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to find out. How did you sleep?
I wake up every morning usually at 5 something.
Okay.
Naturally. We did not go to bed at my usual bedtime hour last night.
Which is? It's like 9:30 on a good night.
I try to get in bed at 9:30.
I feel like I wouldn't call you after 10 unless I've gotten like a post 10 p.m. text.
Yeah. I mean, my phone, I sleep with it all, on silent.
On silent.
My phone will ring to my watch if I haven't fallen asleep yet.
That's dangerous. Which is,
but I can fall asleep almost immediately. So you asked how I slept. We can actually see. I have no problem falling asleep, ever. It's just dink, straight down. I did not get a great sleep score last night because I woke up naturally at 5 something to go to the bathroom.
A sleep score? What do you mean a sleep score? Who's so, scoring your sleep?
So I wear a Fitbit watch.
Okay.
And it I don't know what metrics it uses. We can go through that.
Okay.
But hold on. I want to show you how good I am at falling asleep.
Okay.
That was the day before. That one wasn't as good. But I have
no doubt that you fall right asleep because of the way you live your life during the day. I bet you, like, your head hits the pillow. I mean, I am. Nick is like, I thought we were going to watch The Bachelor. And I'm like, I got through 4 more minutes of it last night. Soldier on.
Were you like that when you were little?
I don't remember.
My mom said it was remarkable that I would just, as like a 2-year-old, be like, I'm going to bed. I'm tired. Good night.
Kids are all different with sleep, and it's like fascinating. But anyway, the reason that Lila and I are talking to you about sleep, this is the first in our next 4-part series, which is on creating optimal environments. So I'm ruthlessly executing against environment creation and curation. And this is something that we actually all have a good amount of control over. And it's worth investing in because your environment,
so
I mean, this is where you are all day, every day. And especially, well, we've always been sleeping in our beds most of the time. But even if you travel a lot, which I guess people aren't doing, but with COVID especially, like, we have more control than ever over our environments because we're spending more time at home and sleeping in our own beds more. And we've seen really high ROI on our environmental investments. So we're going to share some of that with you. This week, we're talking about sleep. Sleep has become more of a topic in the past, I'd say, 5 or 10 years. There's been more research into the science of sleep, why we need sleep.
Yeah, like, I would hate to say, I think it's more than 10. It's just...
Okay. I'm actually going to pull this up. Lila doesn't like it when I do this, but I'm going to pull this up. I want to know. Hold on, because Arianna Huffington's book came out, and I think that was one of the first mainstream, like a lot of people have been interested in sleep, but they were nerds.
Do you remember power nap? The whole term power nap.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So there is a professor at Cornell, who's the Psych 101 professor, who's also a sleep specialist. He wrote, I need to look this book up.
The Sleep Revolution, Transforming Your Life One Night at a Time, which is Arianna Huffington's book on sleep. Which is kind of like sleep as a form of self-care really coming into the mainstream. That was 2016. So in the last 5 or 10 years, what is this book? The Power Nap book?
Well, so a friend of mine co-authored a book with Professor Moss called Sleep for Success.
Okay, hold on. Sleep your way to the top. Which is a cute play on words, but a little bit weird. Power napping for beginners. What's this guy's name?
Dr. James Moss.
There's been many editions of this book. Okay. 2010. So 10 years ago, this book came out. But like, why should people care about their sleep?
Because it impacts everything. Like your health, your ability to function.
But I think the health effects are really important. Like I was at a party. Okay. You're going to have to do your own research on this. And this guy told me that every night you get fewer than 4 hours of sleep, the number of cancer-fighting things that go, like, clean up your DNA, like, the number of those plummets really meaningfully increases your risk of getting cancer if you don't sleep successive nights. No one should be pulling all night. Get at least the 2 to 4 hours. I mean, hopefully more every night, but it's never a good choice.
So I'm looking at a presentation from Dr. Moss.
Okay. Dr. Maas, the sleep expert. Go on.
Sleep deprivation weakens your immune system, leading to significantly higher risks of hypertension, heart attacks and strokes, type 2 diabetes, depression, influenza, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, obesity, and premature death.
Oh, the studies on cognitive decline and lack of sleep are wild, too. I'm terrified of cognitive decline. I mean,
this is why you need to go get checked for sleep apnea.
Okay. Lila thinks I have sleep apnea. I'm not sure that I do, but maybe I'll report back on that. Okay. So Lila got very into the reason we're even talking about this. Like, we both are big sleep people in different ways. Lila got into the sleep game. You were about to tell the story about your ex-boyfriend.
He was a terrible sleeper. We were both in trading environments, right? And so
trading, meaning like finance. They were in a finance environment on a trading floor is what she means.
So, you know, when something happens and you're like, okay, this has gone too far. We have to do something about this.
Yes.
Okay. So we were in the Hamptons with a bunch of our friends, and Ambien and alcohol definitely do not mix.
Facts.
A very known fact, right? And so...
And if you take an Ambien, you're supposed to go to sleep immediately.
Yes. So what would happen was...
But he was a poor sleeper, so he was on Ambien.
Correct.
Okay.
And so he would oftentimes like wake up, eyes open, have a full conversation with me, and he was fully asleep. So in this one instance, we were sharing a room with my friend Erin and her boyfriend at the time, and he is like, gets up, and he gets on top of me. He's like, we gotta get out of here. I'm like, what? And he's like, they're coming after us. And he's like holding a gun up. Not a real gun.
Like holding his arms up. Like he's got a gun.
Yeah, he's like, okay. Got a gun. And then he like pulls me down to the ground. And then he's like bear crawling through like the room. And then like he grabs this lamp and he smashes the lamp and he's like yelling. And
he smashed a lamp?
Yeah. So I've like now tried to like wrestle him. And I'm like, Ian, this is 2000, whatever.
I'm scared.
We are in Amagansett, New York. And the other couple is like, what is going on? So we wake up the next morning and there's like smashed glass. And he looks over and goes, did I do that? And our friend's boyfriend goes, bro, you were storming the beaches of Normandy all last night.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, OK, this has gone too far. And we always joke like we always know a guy. Right. And so my sorority sister literally went to get her PhD, and she is a sleep expert. So she had written this book called Sleep for Success. So I immediately call her.
So she wrote this with Dr. Moss.
Correct.
And she should be on this podcast, but this is not that podcast. So you're getting us. We're going to do our best. Carry on.
So I was like, we have to do everything we can to like make him get off this Ambien thing.
Okay. So you want to get him off the Ambien.
Want to get him off the Ambien and just have a better, like he would sweat the bed. It was just, we both did. It was gross. So... the first thing is controlling the actual environment, right? So I went out and I got us a new mattress. We like had blackout shades. We did the sound machine.
Okay.
Right? So the ideal temperature for a bedroom to be for
you
to sleep.
So you studied.
I read the book.
And this is what your findings were. One, the ideal temperature is what?
65 to 67 degrees.
I think that's uncomfortably cold for some
Correct.
People. But
it's supposed to be cold.
It's supposed to be cold. I once read this thing by this guy who was like, you're supposed to be cold and I sleep naked on top of the sheet in a really cold room. I don't know. This guy was like into extra survival stuff or something. But can you like then get under the covers?
Yeah, of course.
In a cold room?
Yeah.
So you don't have to be cold, but the room is supposed to be cold.
The room needs to be very cold and very dark.
Okay. Very cold. And then very dark. So tell me about that. Blackout shades?
Blackout shades. We did not do this. But pulling the TVs out of the room.
Okay, so no electronics. Now, this is a thing that I think goes beyond, like, there's the light that's emitted from it. There's also people who, and I haven't studied this, so I'm unclear, but, like, the EMFs or, like, whatever the electronic signals, some people can be very sensitive to that, and that can interfere with sleep, especially for babies. And I learned from this baby lady on Instagram, which is where I learn a lot of things these days, but she's awesome. Her Instagram is called Taking Cara, C-A-R-A, Babies. So if you have a baby in your life or you're going to have a baby in your life, I have on good authority that she's amazing. And I watched one of her things on helping your baby sleep. And this thing about the darkness, okay? If you wake up and you're coming out of a sleep cycle and you will often, I think, wake up a little bit, but you don't remember it when you come out of a sleep cycle. If there's light in the room, it will propel you into wakefulness. Oh, yeah. Versus if it is pitch black in the room, you will go right back into your sleep cycle. And her litmus test for is it dark enough in your room is if you put your hand in front of your face and you can see your hand, it's too light in the room. So.
Yeah.
I challenge everybody. You do this test tonight and like you may need to remove electronics that are emitting random amounts of light that just light up your room a little too much.
You're technically not supposed to sleep with your phone in your room either. Like no electronics.
In your room.
Correct. Which that is just not feasible.
Is an alternative powering your phone all the way down?
You could.
What about part of it, but you also, you've like got a watch on and like
but
a
I don't have a problem but I don't have a problem sleeping.
Well, you don't have a problem falling asleep, but you do get sometimes like things in the night.
Well, we all get up again. Like you probably wake up around 20 times in the night and you don't even know it.
Right.
Which is the importance.
You go right back to sleep.
Which is the importance of the dark room.
The darkness. Okay, wait. So it's cold. It's dark.
You're actually supposed to shower or bathe before bed.
Tell me about this.
So I've heard conflicting things between taking a cold shower and taking a hot bath. I just read this. Glanced at this presentation from Dr. Moss and it says hot, which is interesting because you're supposed to get your body temperature down, which is why the room is supposed to be so cold.
But
and there's certain mattresses also that keep a lot of heat in, and those are bad.
Those are bad. This is a lot of the like inexpensive foam heat, whatever. What I've understood though about the hot shower and part of the reason it makes you sleepy to take a hot shower at any period is because when your body goes through the cooling process from hot to cold, that makes you tired. So it's like the decline in temperature. Like if you ever get out of a hot tub and then you just want to like plop, right? It's because you got your body temperature really hot and then you went super cold down. But you're supposed to bathe just in general, like is being clean. And Nick likes to bathe before bed. Like he loves doing that.
Just to rinse off.
I'm tired. I will. I mean, if I'm dirty, I will, or I feel kind of gross. I got up and I showered and then I put clothes on and they kept my body clean all day. Right? I don't know. Is that gross that I don't shower every night before bed?
I don't.
Okay. But if you're trying to improve your sleep, perhaps you should.
Correct.
Okay.
But again, this is like a function of the day. And what the most important thing is going to bed the same time and waking up the same time every day.
Because of your circadian rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's why jet lag is such a serious thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because your body just, it knows when it's supposed to go to sleep and when it's supposed to wake up. And so you're supposed to put yourself on a like very regimented, consistent schedule.
Yeah. I mean, people make fun of me for having
a bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you like break it when social situations call for it.
For sure.
And I feel sort of bad. I feel like I'm a big contributor to your like low sleep evenings. So I am a big fan of having this really, really fabulous bed situation.
Okay.
I love beds and bedding and wonderfulness.
A lot of it, too, is just like your bedroom is for sleeping.
Oh, that's a big thing. Well, COVID has been really hard because the kids have spent time in their bedrooms, like more time studying and hanging, right? Like being home. But like, yeah, sitting and doing stuff in your bed
comfortable
confuses your body.
Right. Same with like having pajamas. Right.
That you put on.
Like this is signaling to my brain, I am going to sleep.
Waking up in sweats, wearing sweats all day and then going to bed, even in clean sweats, it's confusing to your body.
Yep.
We are getting further and further from a time where men wore uncomfortable clothing all day long, came home, changed into progressively more comfortable clothing and then slept in it or naked, I guess.
Yeah. I went through a long phase where I slept naked. And then, but
did that help your sleep?
I was trying all these different things.
Okay. And what happened about the naked sleeping?
Again, I don't know that I like have enough of a problem. I think for me, it's like putting on something that I know is for bedtime.
For bedtime. You also work out a lot. And I find that when I'm getting good exercise, I sleep way better. I have less anxiety, which, you know, contributes to poor sleep. So I think that part of your secret sauce, though you may not ever want to A/B test this, probably not, is that you get physical exercise every day.
Mm-hmm.
It wears you out. My kids, when they've been playing like multiple sports, my son was playing water polo. I have never seen that child sleep so hard and so easily. Right. And then if they don't have physical
great
activity,
game.
great game. By the way, super fun to watch. If you ever get the chance to go see a water polo match, they're very short. And because like people can only tread water for so long, it is not like playing basketball. And the people are ruthless and it's highly entertaining. And they wear the most ridiculous ear cover protectors and little caps. Yeah, I love beds. And hot tip for anybody who wants. So first of all, there are a lot of weird synthetic sheets on the market. There's a lot of debate going on with these new agey sheet companies that create all this stuff. I'm a big fan of like crisp, cool cotton percal sheets, maybe a sateen, but cotton. And I haven't tried the, there's like these new silver sheets kill bacteria, but maybe just wash your sheets.
What?
They have sterling silver thread. So sterling silver, by the way, do you know one of the big reasons that baby toys were traditionally made out of silver is like bacteria really doesn't grow on sterling silver. And it's also a reason that traditional flatware is made out of sterling silver, right? Because bacteria does not grow on it. And so it's very clean. And some scientists have found a way to put silver threads into sheets. I don't know if it works. It seems complicated. I just like a cool, crisp percal, a beautiful white sheet. And the secret to life is that they sell these things deeply discounted at a store called Tuesday Morning, which, by the way, was recently like delisted from the regular stock market. hopefully it will stay open. You should go to Tuesday Morning and stock up on great high quality sheets.
I've witnessed Allison at Tuesday Morning in the sheets situation.
In the sheets situation. They also have good deals on down comforters and on great mattress protectors. By the way, dust mites are a real thing. So you should be protecting your mattress with an actual encasing so that it doesn't become laden with dust mites. It's so gross when we sleep. I know you all have heard this. You shed all of these gross cells into your pillow and your sheets and your mattress. So keeping it clean is important. Buying pillow protectors. So these are like these cases. There's one on the pillow you slept on last night. It's like a zippered enclosure that protects your pillow. And then you put your pillowcase on top of it. And it just keeps everything really clean, because one of the things that happens is you can end up getting like dust mites in your bed, which is disgusting. And a lot of people are allergic to them. And I promise you, not only is it incredibly gross, but it will interfere with your sleep.
You ever had bed bugs?
Not personally, but I traveled to New York and lived in New York long enough to be terrified of bed bugs. Have you?
No. There was that time I got sea lice that I thought was bed bugs.
Oh, yeah. But that was sea lice.
That was sea lice, which was worse.
But easier to get rid of because it doesn't leave the sea.
Fair. It was on my face, okay?
Do you have a picture of that?
Of course. Yes, I've sent it to you.
Okay, okay. Mattresses.
Go on.
So my family has become a cult follower of Keetsa mattresses. It's K-E-E-T-S-A. They have all natural, like very non-off-gassing. They're incredibly comfortable. There are a few different types. And what's interesting is instead of having a like 30-night guarantee or whatever where you can return it, they like require that you sleep on it for 30 nights and adjust to it. And then you can return it for another certain period if you don't like it. But I think they're really, really good mattresses. So I don't need to research a mattress for you. I can just tell you, I think you should
because
get a Keetsa.
The saying is like every 10 years, you're supposed to get a new mattress, right? And I just confirmed, 7 to 10 years. So it's time.
Okay, well, join the Keetsa cult and let me know what you think. They come really quickly.
So I was trying to think what else in like a sleep environment perspective.
Ooh, good pillows.
Essential.
Lila likes multiple pillows. I say like always have extra pillows around. I like down pillows. I think some people are allergic to down. Do you not like down pillows? You like hard pillows?
These are great questions. I don't know if I like down pillows.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Again, I don't have a sleeping problem. I can sleep anywhere. Do you know where I sleep really well? Airplanes. I get on an airplane, cannot stay awake. The hum of the airplane just like puts me right to sleep. But I love to fly as well. So when I'm flying a plane, which has not been a lot, but
I love down pillows. I think they're just divine. And Lila now knows that I travel with my own pillows. I always bring my pillow if I can fit it in my bag.
Do you ever read before bed? That's no, it's one of the things.
I'm really guilty. I know. I'm a terrible mom because I like want my kids to read before bed, but I'm like watching The Bachelor or whatever because I'm just tired. And in times when I've read before bed, yes, it's been great. And people have told me if you wake up in the night, do not reach for your phone. Get a reading light and reach for a book. Do I do that? No.
No. No. I have to see who else texts me between 9:45 and, you know, the middle of the night. It's always someone. There's like some days it's like 30 texts.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I try not to text you after you're asleep. I try not to contribute, you know, or text you when you're, I'm bad at texting you when I know you're driving. I feel really bad about that. I need to work on it. One of the things that contributes, though, right, to good or bad sleep is, like, what you eat and drink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's no alcohol within three hours.
I feel
like it's probably no alcohol ever, but then it's, like, the next level is no alcohol within 3 hours.
When I don't drink, I sleep amazing. My workouts are amazing, and I'm super productive. It's really pathetic that, like, that we I just can't stop.
I mean, can you? You could.
Yeah, I mean, I have many times.
But it's, like, a trade-offs kind of thing.
Right.
I get bad dreams if I eat like a heavy dessert or like sugar before bed. Have you ever heard of that?
I wonder if it's the sugar. I will have very vivid dreams after drinking.
Oh, is that, but that would be like every night. Sorry, no, not every night, but like
more than a glass of wine, right?
Okay, like, okay. Like if you like really drink. I have vivid dreams sometimes that are pretty wild. I want to start writing my dreams down.
I feel like I tell you them when.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not all
and
the
I
time.
Tell you them too. But I love dreaming. It's wonderful. One of the things that disrupts my sleep the most, other than, so the two things probably, there's three things. One is this is the worst, mainlining water before bed. It has an inevitable effect. You have to wake up. You have to go to the bathroom in the night. I have got to get better at hydrating.
Throughout the day.
Heavily hydrating throughout the day and a few hours before I go to bed so that I can be all
I went through this.
Done.
Because, you know, I like measuring things. So I did this whole, like, trying to drink an absurd amount of ounces. And it was such a bitch to keep track of because I would, like, have a water bottle at SoulCycle. And then I would drink this other water bottle. And that was 20 ounces. So I don't know where I got this. It might have been from Jocko. But if you peed 3 times before 10 a.m., then you knew you were hydrated. That was way easier for me to count to 3. So it forced me to.
But you don't know until the next day if you met your hydration goals for the day prior.
No. That's basically me getting hydrated earlier in the day.
Saying that you woke up so far before 10 a.m. that you were able to drink so much water.
And pee three times.
Huh. Think about that. I can't even imagine getting up being like, I'm ready to crush my day. Let me start by pounding some waters.
But think about it. I get up. I work. So I get up. I pee when I wake up. That's okay. One. Then I go work out and I will drink a whole like a bicycle water
bottle
of water. I've probably also, I definitely also had coffee, which is not, but it's still
hydrating,
liquid, not hydrating. Sure. And then I come home and I make a, like an after workout drink. That's a water-based drink.
The caffeine's a diuretic though. Are you kind of cheating?
Maybe. But I'm like, that's also what.
Fine.
But I'm just saying like, I make a lot of intention to do that in the beginning. Of my day.
So this incredibly brilliant man I know named Kaushik Iyer, who worked with me at Facebook, I think he noticed that I was like being really caffeinated at work. Because there were times at Facebook when I was just exhausted and caffeinated at work. And he was like explaining to me that drinking water in the morning will actually wake you up and get your system going. Better than caffeine. That like if you just drink a lot of water, which also
I'll
makes
try.
Me think about drinking a lot of water at night. Like, am I just waking myself up when I wake up kind of thirsty and I just pound water? Am I like getting my brain going and like signaling like time to get up? But yeah, I think
I'll try that this week. I'll try no caffeine and just dry water.
Well, I'll try adding pounding water to my routine.
This week's Maybe next week. Definitely not the good week to try it this week.
All right. So the last thing that really kills my sleep, and I want to know what your solutions are for this, if any, but maybe you don't have any since you're such a good sleeper, is like stress and anxiety. Like that's probably the biggest culprit, you know, and I'll do this thing where I wake up. So it's like a 1-2 punch. So I said there's like a few things that interfere. If I wake up at 3 a.m. and I start worrying about things or even just thinking about my to-do list, and then it takes me till 5 to go back to sleep, my body will remember that. So to your point about things happening at the same time, it will remember, like, we wake up at 3. If that happens more than 2 days in a row, I'm so bummed because I know that my body has now decided that, like, this is part of our routine.
Yep, we get up at 3 now.
And that's awful. And I think that it's like a vicious cycle with my old dentist used to call them floating anxieties.
Did you say my old dentist?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I went in one day with like a really tense jaw. It was so tense that it was kind of like locking up. I was terrified. I left work and I drove straight to her office and I was like, I gotta talk to someone right now. I don't think I can open my mouth. This is terrifying. And she saw me right away. By the way, she lives in Palo Alto. Her name is Sachi Ball. I highly recommend her. She has this most amazing British accent. And she was like, nothing is wrong with you. You just have what I call floating anxieties. And they have like physical manifestations. And I was like clenching my jaw probably at night, during the day. And the more I was like worried about clenching my jaw, the more it like tightened up. So she was like, warm compress, 2 Advil. Just relax.
Just relax.
Take a bath. You know, but those like floating anxieties. And it's not like there's any one big problem. Did I make that appointment for that child? Did I remember to buy a birthday party gift? Did I RSVP to this thing? Did I meal plan for the week? Did I buy more eggs for the morning? All floating around your head. And of course, your brain is like, let's worry about these things all night. And so that gets me into these late waking. So we talked a couple of weeks ago about the idea of putting something by your bed and like writing things down. Yep. I think I've got to do that.
So there's a lot of things. I also have that same issue a little bit. As you know, I had Lyme disease. One of the side effects of Lyme disease is Bell's palsy, which is was scary the very first time. Now I'm more aware.
It's going to scare me a lot the first time I see this. I've never seen this.
Mine's not that bad. Mine doesn't like actually droop. It's just... just like I lose feeling in half my face.
Okay.
Which is funny. We can laugh about this. You still aren't to the laughing part.
No, it sounds terrifying. Carry on.
But so this hasn't happened in a while. And I went to one of these, like my doctor couldn't see me that day and I knew I needed to get on a steroid. So I just went to a doc in the box. And so I'm having to explain, well, I had Lyme disease. And so this is like happening. And they're like, you just need to relax. You're very stressed. And I'm like, I'm not stressed. I have nothing. Like, nothing is stressing me out.
I have no problems. What are you talking about?
And then so I went to work. I was wearing my eye patch. And they're all like, the doctor told me to just relax. And then I'm just stressed. Isn't that ridiculous? And one of my colleagues was like, dude, you're like super wound tight. And I didn't even know. Right.
So but if that's like your resting state of being. Right. People are like, oh, you have so much on your plate. I'm like, not really. This is the life I created. I'm super like, this is what I wanted. And that's not stressful. But I think we just get used to operating at such a high level of octane.
Like, honestly, if you want to try and get better at sleeping, I think you should do the hot bath before. You like baths. I don't.
I do like baths.
They're like too boring for me.
Yeah, but I bring my phone in the bath. Or wine in the bath. Should I get a book to read in the bath before bed? Do you like my alliterative poetry moment I just had?
You really have to put the phone down before bed.
Yeah.
Because it's only going to make the anxiety worse.
Well, I will say that I have deleted the news app and the stocks app off my phone, and that has helped my anxiety tremendously. I do not, you know, I get news from people who are like, oh my God, look what just happened. And I'm like, la, 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 I don't want to hear. I don't even care. So that did help. And I can recommend that to people. Like, you do not want to be getting news alerts of like something that happened like in the middle of the night in a foreign country. Right. Because it's the middle of their day. And you're like, oh, the stock market's plunging and the GDAX. Right. Like, nobody needs to know that.
So hot bath. You could meditate.
Do you do these things? No, because you don't have problems sleeping. Listen to this girl. Okay.
But I mean, from a stress perspective, like for me, right? A lot of how I get my stress out.
But you don't take baths or meditate.
I know. But how I de-stress is work out, as you know.
I think I should just work out.
If that's like, I have to, I don't even, you know, I hate running. But when I get super stressed, I like either have to pick up heavy things and put them down and run really fast. Like someone is trying to chase me.
I don't think you should run at all.
I know.
It's a high impact activity and Lila has joint pain, but it works for you.
It works for me. So when I get super anxious and I'm stressed, if my face is still normal, I will sweat like Mike Tyson in a spelling bee at night.
Okay.
And that's like more of a lag measure of me knowing that like I need to need to get some things under control. And I will wake up at 4. Like, because I am very disciplined about going to sleep and I'm usually pretty tired. I can fall asleep quickly. Like,
same.
Very, very rarely. Like, but it's again, the, from it's my app, waking. I have more data. And so I think I'm going to go back to when that happens, like actually just writing things down.
Okay.
But what's helped me is just getting up.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not the right thing.
The right thing. But you think that
do you take naps?
No. But do you think that if I know.
So dismissive of the nap.
No, it's never been my vibe. Even when I was little, I was three and it was like nap time. And I was like, what? These jokers just lying down in the middle of a well-lit room on a mat and passing out.
I took a nap the other day because I couldn't function and it was glorious.
That's.
I don't know that this is healthy, but have you ever heard of a diesel nap?
No. Maybe.
I used to take these on the campaign. I would pound a coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And then fall asleep.
And then when it wakes you up.
And then when you wake up 20 minutes later, you are like ready to go.
Hey, there's like a lot of science around napping, and like really successful people are good power nappers.
Yeah.
But I'm not really tired during the day. I just don't like not getting sleep at night. So you think that if I get myself really relaxed before bed, even though I don't have trouble falling asleep, getting relaxed before bed will help me sleep through the night.
Correct.
Okay, I'm willing to try it. I'll report back.
I mean, and cutting out the booze.
Well, like, it's not like I need to booze hard, right? I mean, I don't know. I like my glass of wine.
Okay.
I know I'll sleep better without it, but...
It's 100% in your control.
Oh, correct.
It's your sleep environment. What? Have you taken any sleep aids?
No, I'm not a sleep aid person. I don't like to be aided in things. By the way, the research is really bad on like Tylenol PM.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like how it causes Alzheimer's. I'm like really against sleep aids. Unless you're very pregnant. And then I think you should get some Ambien and not torture yourself, because it's impossible to sleep with a human being who weighs like 7 pounds inside your body. So no judgment on sleep aids. I don't need them, you know? Anyway, okay. Everyone go crush your sleep, and we'll see you back next week for some sorts of reports.
Are you going to monitor your sleep?
Oh, wait, we didn't talk about that. No, but I could. But my mom got really into that like Aura Ring thing.
Maybe I'll try it.
It's just like a ring you wear at night that monitors your sleep, and it sends the stuff to your phone. And I think it'll tell you if you're sleeping. I should monitor my sleep.
The only reason why I say monitoring I think would be a good idea is because you're a little bit competitive. Well, one, you like data, and maybe I'm more competitive than you are. Like, it forces me to get to sleep because I get a score. And I know if I screw around on my phone for an extra 15 minutes, that 15 minutes is going to make a big difference in my score.
Because part of your score is about getting to sleep on time.
It's just the length of time as well, right? And like where you are in which cycle, how long you're there. So I've just got my Fitbit, which is very helpful. Let's see. And it measures the time I'm awake, my REM sleep, my light sleep, and my deep sleep. My estimated oxygen variation, which is very good. I'd be curious on yours.
I know. You're very curious. Let's find out. Okay. I will monitor my sleep this week.
Okay. Great.
And we will report back. I do like data. That's why Levels worked for me.
Right.
The blood sugar thing.
Right.
I'm into it.
Okay.
All right. Go crush your sleep. See you next week. Thanks for listening to Hell or High Ranch Water. Follow us on Instagram to see evidence of our latest adventures.